ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Text number 12. Kata madiyaha dushamanaha priyaha tvam avesha mam atmani santam ekam sarveshu bhuteshu adijagyam isham yajasva yogena bhakti yoga cha karma hinban. Kata madiya dushamanak priyastvam aveshamam atmani santamekam sarveshu bhutesh arijagyanma isham yajasva yoghena cha karma hinvan. Kata, messages or instructions. Madiyaha, given by me. Dushamanaha, always hearing or contemplating. Always hearing or contemplating. And priyaha, extremely pleasing. Tvam, yourself. Avesha, being fully absorbed in. Mam, me. Atmani, within the core of your heart. Santam, existing. Ekam, one. The same Supreme Soul. Sarveshu, in all. Bhuteshu, living entities. Adiyagyam, the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies. Isham, the Supreme Lord. Yajasva, worship. Yogena, by bhakti yoga and devotional service. Cha, also. Karma, fruitive activities. Hinvan, giving up. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When a devotee becomes, it does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always, continuously, hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the Supersoul, existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Please repeat. It does not matter that you are in the material world. You should always, continuously, hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me. For I am the Supersoul, existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruitive activities and worship me. Purport by His Divine Grace. When a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he is enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in this material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord, because he is planning how to serve the Lord with these opulences, as advertised, as advised by the Lord Himself. Whatever material opulence is within his possession, he engages to expand the glories and service of the Lord. A devotee never performs any fruitive or ritualistic ceremony to enjoy the results of such karma. Rather, a devotee knows that karma kanda is meant for the less intelligent man. Narottam Das Thakur says in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishara bhanda. Both karma kanda and jnana kanda, fruitive activities and speculation about the Supreme Lord, are like pots of poison. One who is attracted to karma kanda and jnana kanda spoils his existence as a human being. Therefore, a devotee is never interested in karma kanda or jnana kanda, but is simply interested in favorable service to the Lord. Anukulyana Krishna nu shilanam, or cultivation of spiritual activities in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Katha madhiya dushamana priyas tvam. Aveshyamam atmani santamekam. Sarveshu bhuteshari yagyam isham. Jajaswi yogena chakarmahinvam. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya. Chakshurun viditam jena. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Sapadantikam. Mukam Karurivachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shigurun Dinataranam. Namashrishtamanum apisati putram atrasarupam rupam tasya grajim urupunim maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivadamaho radhika madhavasam prapto yasya pratitak kripiyo shigurun tandatosmi bandeham shiguru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangcha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hantayam Adrilabala Haridasya Vayo. Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramodaha. Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayo Yad Paniyasu Yavasakandana Kandamulahai. Matsamo Nasti Papatma. Naparadi Nakashjana. Parihare Pilajjame. Kimbruve Purushottama. Yuvatinam tata yuni yunam cha yavata yata. Mano bidabite dadvam mano me ramatam twayi. Bhumau skalita padanam bhumireva valambanam twayi jata paradanam twam mevam charanam prabho. Govinda valabe radhe. Karunamitavahini Vipayatavaparamja Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam. Hare Krishna. So here we are in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So many things have been explained, details of how the Supreme Lord creates this material world. Different stories of different devotees going through different trials and tribulations in order to display their devotion to the Lord. And here, the Supreme Lord Nrisimhadev, he's responding to Prahlad Maharaj, his pure devotee. We know that Prahlad was only 5 years old. Huh? What could he know? Huh? 5 years old, couldn't know very much. Couldn't have been so educated. Even they tried to educate him in, you know, the politics and economics and diplomacy of material, you know, consciousness. But it didn't work very well because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. And due to his unflinching devotion, Nrisimhadev himself, the Supreme Lord himself, is offering him benedictions and glorification. The devotees of the Lord are to be glorified because they have come to the point. The point being that everything belongs to Krishna. This is the secret for living in this world, even in the midst of opulence. Prahlad Maharaj was born the son of Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely opulent. We sometimes kind of criticize him because he was a demon and against Vishnu, which is right to do. But we should also understand that he had accomplished extreme austerities and as a result had become opulent, rare opulence he achieved in the world. I don't know if you remember the story, but he was able to control the rain and the resources of material nature, water and light and heat and all those things without the help of the demigods. He was so powerful. He didn't need the demigods. He conducted all those things by his own mystic power that he achieved through extreme austerity. So Prahlad was born into this opulent situation. And yet, even when tempted by all those things, you know, he kept himself absorbed in loving devotional service, in loving thoughts of Krishna. And when tested, the ultimate test, where his own father, so powerful that he could, you know, make the demigods run into the clouds just by opening, you know, by moving his eyebrows, he did not flinch. He was not afraid. He was fearless. Because he knew that everything belonged to Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying here in this purport, when a devotee becomes materially very opulent, one should not think that he's enjoying the results of his fruitive activities. A devotee in the material world uses all material opulences for the service of the Lord because he is planning how to serve the Lord with those opulences. How can he do that? How can he do that? As long as you're thinking that this belongs to me, aham mameti, then you can't actually engage that energy or those resources or whatever you have in the service of anyone else. You're forced by that mentality to act in a way to try to get more resources for yourself and to do the needful to others in order to accomplish that. That's described by Krishna very clearly in the 16th chapter of the Gita, you know, where the demoniac mentality is described. So much more I have today, so much more I will gain by my strength, and those who have, you know, stood in my way have been eliminated, and those others who will stand up on me will be eliminated. I am powerful, I am happy, I will engage in sacrifice, you know, and I will enjoy in this world, the hum bogi. This is the material mentality, this is the material consciousness. But devotees, they can also be very opulent. Maharaj Yudhishthir, his opulence was described to be so great that even the demigods in heaven could not imagine it. But what was his mentality? When the battle was fought in order to put him in that position of the most opulent position in the world, he felt very bad. He wasn't, you know, lauding, you know, what had happened. He felt bad because so many men had lost their lives in order to put him into the position. So even when a person's in that opulent position, doesn't mean that we have to think like a demon just because we are opulent. This is our choice. This is our choice. And this is the test of our spiritual education, how educated we actually are spiritually. This is the test. It's not how much we know, how much we can lord it over others, how much we can impress others by our, you know, how many shlokas we can remember or whatever. That's not the test. The test is whether or not we can actually feel compassion and continue to feel compassion for others in whatever position we have achieved in this world. Rupa Goswami, he said that if you want to live in this world without being affected by the modes of material nature, then you must make it your ambition to serve Krishna. He acknowledges that that may not be the ambition in the beginning. When a conditioned soul is surrounded by the material energy, especially if he's achieved some kind of opulent position, the nature is to get carried away, because we're very, very tiny and the material nature is very, very great. Therefore, Krishna, he shows through the activities of so many of his loving devotees, you know, how we're supposed to think, what our mentality is supposed to be, so that we can actually adjust ourselves. And this is the idea. This is the use, the proper use of our free will, of our own intelligence. Here it's described about how when one becomes opulent, well, one of the opulences, one of the resources that we have at our disposal is our own intelligence, our own mind and intelligence. We can use those in the service of the Lord. I was just visiting with Urjaswa yesterday and last night, and it was so, you know, amazing because, you know, his heart is so good, and, you know, he's chanting Krishna, Krishna, but there's certain things that happened as a result of that stroke that he can't. Like he can say the words, but he can't sing the tune. Amazing, because he was, you know, one of the greatest kirtaniyas in the history of our movement. You know, how many times has he chanted the tune? But because he's got this, you know, it's a machine. We're living in a machine, you know. And he's got certain brain cells that are affected by this stroke. So, you know, the tune can't come out. The words come out, but the tune can't come out. So, and we were talking about it, and he was saying how it's amazing that he's not the mind. He's not the machine. We're not even, you know, our gross material abilities. We're something beyond that. We're eternal spiritual souls. And all the energy that we've been given in order to live in this world, in order to enjoy in this world, in order to have whatever in this world, is all meant, you know, for us to learn this art of using our intelligence and our senses and our resources and everything in the service of the Lord. And in order to do that, we have to be convinced that it belongs to Him. So how is Krishna going to convince us that it belongs to Him? Every time you get it, especially big time, generally, He takes it away. And this happens to a conditioned soul again and again, life after life after life, and he attains all these positions and then he gets it taken away. Attains all these positions, gets it taken away. And he struggles and suffers. Until he comes to the point, by the association of the devotees, by the association of Krishna, because he's so kind, he comes, you know, from time to time to remind us. He stays with us in our hearts. Here he says, hear the instructions and messages given by me and always absorb the thought of me, for I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Such a good friend Krishna is. Suridam Sarvadi. He's the true friend of all living beings. There's different kinds of friends. But Surit is a very special kind of friend. Surit means the friend who is always on your side, no matter what. No fair weather, you know, friendship in the Surit. So Krishna is the supreme Surit. He's the supreme friend. And we have to accept this. Until we accept it, there will be a constant friction within us. We're thinking that when we get something nice or when we're comfortable, oh, then Krishna is thinking nice of us. And when we are in difficulty or pain or suffering or something's happened to us, some reversal in life, then we're thinking, oh, Krishna, how could he do this to me? But the fact is that he's always there and he's always arranging things, and especially to his pure devotees, especially to his devotees who can take it, not just dish it out, but can take it. Especially to those devotees, he finds ways to prove the glories of devotional service and the glories of his devotees. And what better way to prove than Prahlad Maharaj? You know, 5 years old, you know, father, a huge, hulking, you know, demon that could fight with, you know, practically anybody and defeat them. He even made Yamaraj back down. Huh? He made Yamaraj back down in a fight. He got all these benedictions from Brahma. He was so powerful from his austerities. And yet, Prahlad's devotion was so powerful that it invoked the presence of the Lord. And the Lord dealt with him as if he was a moth, you know, flying into a flame. So this is our position. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it so nicely in his songs, that, you know, my home, my wife, my children, my assets, whatever I have, you know, it is yours. It is yours. And I am just a caretaker. I'm just here. I'm your servant. I'm caretaker. When we have that mentality, when we actually have that mentality, not lip service, not that we know the right words, but then as soon as someone, you know, impinges upon our whatever property or whatever, then we immediately respond with, you know, anger or jealousy or whatever. Not lip service. But actually, therefore it says here, in the core of one's heart, the soul is in the core of the heart. The super soul is in the core of the heart, and we have to go there. This is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means you plumb the depths of your heart. Just like we may be sitting on a gold mine, you know, but you can't use the gold mine unless you get in there and dig it Just because you own a piece of property that has gold on it, that doesn't mean you get any of the benefits. Even you're sitting on a gold mine, you have to dig it, you know, and it's not easy. And separate it, and process it, and do all the things you have to do in order to make it, you know, tradable, to make it serviceable. This is the art of spiritual life. It's the art of devotional service, and it is demonstrated by how consistently we want to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. I was listening to a lecture. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Los Angeles. I think it was 1973, December. And he was noting, you know, at that time, you know, the Temple One room was filled with devotees every morning. Every morning. And after Prabhupada would give the class, spontaneously they would all rise up and just, their voices were like thunderous, Jai Prabhupada! And they were so enthusiastic to hear Srila Prabhupada speak. He was so powerful. Yeah. And one, after, you know, a series of those lectures, Prabhupada said, how is it that you're coming to hear me speak every morning? And how is it you're feeling so enthusiastic to hear me speak every morning? I'm saying the same thing every day. You're hearing the same thing repeated every single day. The basics, here we are in seventh canto, and right back to the basics, isn't it? So much detail about the creation and philosophy and, you know, fruitive act rituals and how to do everything perfectly, but it gets right down to the basic, you know, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord from the core of the heart is what pleases Krishna and how we can become free from this material world. So Prabhupada was saying, how is it you're coming every day and so enthusiastic? All I'm saying is, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you are his eternal servant. So how is it? The same thing every day, every day? Why doesn't it become hackneyed? Why doesn't it become old? And it does for some. He said it's because you have ruchi. Because you have a taste. He said otherwise you could not come. Day after day after day. So this is what we need. We need this ruchi. We need this taste. And that ruchi is acquired. It is there in the heart. It is there already. It is acquired by uncovering it from all the different things that cover it. And therefore it's a process. Adoshadha tata sadhusanga cha bhajana kriya anartanaviti syat. So nishta ruchi. To get that taste, you have to accomplish, you have to attain, you have to take the process and carry it out to the point where it takes you to the next stage of the process. All the devotees have some faith, otherwise why would they have come? Why would they be doing, you know, what they're doing? But then we have to associate with one another. And we have to hear, not just associate with one another just socially, although that's also important and it's also there, but we have to hear and chant the glories of the Lord so that our faith will increase to the point where we will want to engage in devotional service. Bhajana Kriya means you want to engage in devotional service. You want to take shelter of Krishna. You want to take shelter of Krishna's representatives. And then be guided how to do that service in a way that removes these coverings from the heart. That removes the coverings from the heart. And we know that's happening as our taste awakens. First of all, as we become steady at it. When our hearing and chanting becomes steady. That's nishta. That's what nishta means. When our hearing and chanting become steady. And we may not have the taste in the beginning. But to hear and chant, you know, not just regularly, but continuously means, you know, without stoppage 24 hours a day or depending on our level of advancement, daily, you know, without stoppage, daily, every day. not letting any of the other duties that sweep us away impinge upon that time that we have, that we've been given by Krishna and our spiritual master. He's given us everything. He's also given us this time. You know, every day you have time. He's given you, you have a certain amount of time to chant Hare Krishna. Same instruction to every single devotee, no matter what his position or her position in society, no matter what service is there. So we, how we utilize that time, how we take the instructions of the spiritual master and carry them out. Yasya devi pura bhakti yata devi tata guru. It is so basic. It is so basic. Once Guru Kripa was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked him, so, you know, he knew that he was like learning a lot of verses. At that time, Guru Kripa was one of the first devotees to learn like a lot of the Gita. He was chanting a lot of verses in his classes, and everybody was very impressed. So Prabhupada heard about it, oh, he's becoming pundit. So Prabhupada asked him, so, what is the best mantra? What is your favorite shloka? What is the most important shloka, Prabhupada said? And Guru Kripa said, Haryanama, 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 eva kebalam. He had a funny way of speaking. You know, the holy name, there's no other way. And that's a very important verse. I mean, that's the one that Lord Chaitanya chanted. You know, that's the one his spiritual master gave him. You know, it was very important. Prabhupada said, no. He said, Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. One who has complete faith in Krishna and in his spiritual master means the instructions of the spiritual master, means the instructions of the Shastra, instructions of Sadhu. The imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed to that person. Why? It says here, because Krishna is in the heart. So this is devotional service. Devotional service is rendered from the core of the heart. It is not just the material elements that we're offering. We have to offer those things from the core of our hearts. And when we do that, then, because Krishna is also there in the core of the heart, noticing, witnessing, Krishna becomes pleased. And when Krishna is pleased with you, automatically you become pleased. Therefore, in the 17th chapter of the Gita, in the section where Krishna describes the austerities of the body and the mind, words and the mind, the first austerity of the mind is satisfaction. It's an austerity because in the material world it's very easy to be dissatisfied. To be dissatisfied in the material world is natural. Because the body is always giving one some kind of trouble, and other bodies are also always giving one some kind of trouble. Therefore, it's very easy to be dissatisfied in this material world. But it's not so easy to be satisfied with whatever, you know, you've been given, whatever, you know, is your lot in life. This is self-satisfaction, and this comes from a deep sense of fulfillment by offering whatever we have and acknowledging continuously that whatever we have belongs to Krishna. And to make an attempt, whatever our capacity is, it's not important. Therefore it says here, it does not matter that you are in the material world. This is a sweeping, broad sweeping statement. Any place in the material world, it doesn't matter where you are. If you acknowledge that whatever you have actually belongs to Krishna, and the test of whether or not you're actually acknowledging it is whether you're actually using it, you know, attempting to use it according to your capacity. It's not important whether you're a sweeper in the street, or a, you know, a saintly king. It doesn't matter where you are in the material world. Wherever you are, whether you're a little boy or whether you're an old, ancient, wise sage, you can offer service to the Lord from the core of the heart. This is what Prahlad Maharaj did, and he's getting the real result. He's worshiping Krishna, and it's being acknowledged by Krishna directly, you know, not just in his heart, from outside. He's come in front of him and he's acknowledging it. And he's worshiping Krishna. So worshiping Krishna is not a ritual. Worshiping Krishna is not a material activity. Worshiping Krishna has to be done from the core of the heart. And this gives us satisfaction, and it is a complete satisfaction. Why? Because everyone else becomes satisfied with this as well. And even if some don't, because when you become a devotee, sometimes that means a serious devotee. That means you sometimes have to tolerate, you know, the demons or the non-devotees thinking ill of you. Prabhupada actually said once, when you become a devotee, actually become a devotee, the whole world will hate you. You must be prepared for that. You must be prepared to tolerate that and keep your love and your devotion and your worship going to the lotus feet of the Lord. And there, in that way, you become extremely dear to Krishna. So dear that Krishna will not be able to leave you, because he is attracted to you. He becomes controlled by that love, by that devotion. The Mayavads and the big materialists, they're busy trying to become God, you know, so that they can lord it over everyone else. But the devotee is in such an exalted position that, you know, they want to become the father of God. They don't want to, you know, keep God in this position of father, where you're always coming to him, Daddy, give me this, Daddy, give me that. They're completely dependent. They want to come to the point where they can actually, you know, act like they're giving subsistence to the Lord. This is what Krishna wants. He likes it. He likes to take the subordinate position to his devotee. As a matter of fact, he likes that the best. That's what he likes most. Therefore, this is the way to live in the material world and have opulence and have, you know, things and have everything, is to use them in a way that takes care of the Lord. That is worship. That is real worship. Mother Yashoda is thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, he's going to die. Krishna isn't going to die, you know. Krishna is giving everything to everyone. But she's thinking like that. And therefore, you know, she owns Krishna. She can treat Krishna like her little boy. So the source of fear personified, Krishna. He becomes afraid of the stick that Mother Yashoda is holding. And you come over here and you stop this. You stop doing that nonsense. He cries and he runs around. And he enjoys like anything. Hare Krishna. We'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Questions? Comments? Corrections?
I'm not putting you on the spot, Maharaj. That
yes, you are. But it's okay.
Becoming satisfied.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a sieve-like brain that can't remember anything, but I can give it to you. Yeah, Matsuma. Let me see. I learned it with Vaisheshika in Japan just recently, but I forgot it. Yeah, well, I'm going to give it to you so we can remember. Manat prasada. Manat means mind. Prasada means satisfied or having attained mercy. Manat prasada somyatvam. Maunam atma vinigraha. Bhava Sangshuddha ityetat depo manasamuchate. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Manak prasada somyatvam. 1716. Me too. Manak prasada somyatvam. Okay, all glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Bol.